When we feel stressed, we often find comfort in food, and the pandemic is stressful. It's forced a lot of us to upend our lives and led to feelings of isolation or desperation, and it's become the breeding ground for people to develop an eating disorder or exacerbate an old one. 21-year-old Miranda Snyder of Western Massachusetts began to veer down a familiar and dangerous path in March. That's when her college in Maine sent her home because of the pandemic. She was home, but she says she felt adrift.
I just completely lost a sense of what I could control, what I was actually contributing to anything. If I wasn't having these regular interactions with my professors and my peers and my coursework. So I leaned into the familiarity of my eating disorder more intensely than I ever had before since eighth grade.
Snyder says there was the day when she was on Zoom taking a class on contemporary literature. She had her camera off and her microphone muted, and her mind began to wander.
I was scrolling through recipes on like the 10th page of Google about baking recipes and even looking at the menu of restaurants about food that I would dream to eat. I was just so painfully sick of constantly thinking about food, constantly planning out my meals in relation to the movement I would engage in that day.
Snyder's eating disorder started when she was 13. She says she obsessively compared her abilities and her appearance to those of her peers. She worked out all the time. She began to prepare for an audition for a school show choir, and things got worse.
I began measuring cereal down from like a half cup of gross fiber one cereal to a third cup to a fourth cup, having like sauteed spinach leaves and cooking spray for dinner, having a single Greek yogurt for lunch, and then jiggling my leg 100 times per calorie on each leg for the rest of the school day.
And doing compulsive crunches on her bathroom floor at home after she ate. Her parents attempted interventions several times. They finally got her into an outpatient anorexia recovery program in the area. Snyder says she existed in a quasi-recovered state until this spring, when she told her friends and parents she needed professional help again. She enrolled in a virtual partial hospitalization program run by Walden Behavioral Care. That's a Massachusetts-based eating disorders treatment organization. The founder, president, and CEO, clinical psychologist Stuart Komen, says Walden has seen a 50% increase in patient inquiries this year over last.
Generally speaking, we would run about 70 evaluations a week. We are now well into the 100 and 100-plus evaluations a week.
In the midst of the pandemic, Walden has opened a new treatment facility. It has intensive hospital floors and a residential unit.
What you'll see is there are six dining rooms throughout the building. Obviously, the food component of the program is major.
Therapists and nutritionists expose patients to a series of challenges and trials around food. The patients prepare food and eat it with meal coaches to help them out. The Walden Hospital will serve patients as young as 11. Komen says eating disorders often show up earlier than they did before social media pressures started affecting kids. And the illness is cut across all levels of society. For some people, not having money to eat sufficiently can spark a disorder connected to food.
And it might be the first time that they've experienced food insecurity, and now all of a sudden they find themselves doing things that they've never done before and sort of embracing restriction and embracing the way of an eating disorder because they think it's somehow best for the family.
Claire Misko is the CEO of the National Eating Disorders Association.
We know that eating disorders thrive in isolation.
She's witnessed the rise in cases. The association, known as NIDA, saw an 87% increase in outreach to their helpline chat service between March and November this year compared to the same time last year.
A lot of what we're hearing is that people are feeling very alone and trying to navigate this situation where they feel a tremendous amount of anxiety. We know that eating disorders are very closely linked to trauma, to anxiety, to depression.
And even though people feel alone, Misko says she wants them to know there's help.
We knew even before the pandemic hit that cost and geography were huge barriers for people to access care. And many treatment providers have shifted their services to be available virtually.
Meanwhile, Miranda Snyder says she found meaningful help in what she refers to as her eating school at Walden. She made a point to write affirming statements in a journal several times a day through her treatment and says that was a critical part of her success. Snyder thinks back to earlier in the pandemic when she would work out or move her body compulsively to try to burn more calories for hours a day.
But now I feel free. I move when I want to in ways that are joyful for me. The most interesting thing about my life is no longer food and exercise. I realize and know my worth.
We have the number to the National Eating Disorders Helpline if you'd like to grab something to write it down. If you or someone you care about is struggling with an eating disorder, you can call 1-800-931-2237.